Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation, a show for survivors of sexual A show or a program for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. I'm here to give you peer support and also any information related to that. And again, I'm grateful for being here. It is Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse, and I'm just grateful to be here. It's beautiful outside. It's like 70 degrees Fahrenheit, somewhere around there, and the sun's out, shiny. I must also point out, like I've said in the beginning, this is only peer support. I'm either a therapist or a psychologist or anything along those lines. I'm only offering peer support, my own experiences in my recovery, and, of course, my own affirmations of on how I've transformed where I am now and what I'm doing now, which has been wild and fantastic journey for myself, which I don't mind talking about, just to show other survivors out there that, yes, in fact, you can move past your abuse that you received as a child. And, you know, I also should point out, too, as well, I'm moving past, and I'm doing great, and I never thought I'm in a world. I don't carry any shame anymore. The anger certainly doesn't control me like it used to. I'm a totally, totally different person from what I was 5 years ago when I came here. And I'm really grateful for coming here to the Gatehouse for what it's given me. It's given me a new lease in life. And it's really great to see others that that are going through the same process that I've gone through to bring me to where I am now. And it brings me here to where I'm talking to you this evening. And it's been it's hard to put words to all the great experience that I've gone through and described. And I really enjoy talking about it, how I progressed and my ups and my downs. And for those out there who have not had any kind of therapy or treatment in regards to your sexual abuse, at least you'll understand that, one, there is a light at the end of the tunnel if you are able to get it, depending on where you live, and two, you'll get an understanding how I've progressed from the beginning to now, And every day I progress. I will keep saying so. Like, most importantly, this anger and shame thing that's basically controlled me for the longest time. You know, another thing I put on my insight there, as far as on my Twitter is concerned, I also put down, and I should have put this on my cover sheet for tonight as well. I was on a chat there the other day, and we were talking about post-traumatic stress, and I really feel that I should need to talk a little bit more about that, because I certainly never got a chance to really say what was really on my mind. And you know, I really hate typing anyway, so for me to carry on a conversation on for example, like on Twitter, when you only have 140 characters, doesn't really any way possible. So I like to say I refuse to give up. I'm fighting really hard. And yes, I have my up days, I have my down days, and that's why I'm here to talk to you about it today. Like, for example, now one of the things I was talking about the other day when I was on Twitter chat with Sexual Abuse Chat, I talked about how my PTSD sometimes would bring me to basically the edge, and then I would basically run away. I'm just giving you a rough idea. I don't have to be too detailed about what I would do. The fact is, I will maybe throughout my conversation, I'll tell you some of the things I've done, or rather what it's done to me, how I react, it's been really, really hard. That's one of the things I've really been really, really, really struggling with. Yes, I talk about my anger and I talk about my shame. Yes, I don't carry that anymore. Like, it doesn't own me like it used to. But this PTSD thing, I tell you, it still has a hold of me. And what I mean by that, okay, well, I still have flashbacks. My nightmares have subsided more than they used to anyway. I don't get them near as often. And that's probably because they do have a couple of things. I've talked about how I have bad sleeping habits. And I still have bad sleeping habits. I fought sleeping just so I wouldn't get nightmares. Well, I still don't have great sleeping habits. And then, like I said, it's due to just bad habits, as I've talked about, but I still get flashbacks. So what do I do when I get flashbacks? I know before when I would get flashbacks, I would basically run away, or I would resort to drugs or alcohol, for example, as a way of numbing my pain, because that's what would happen to me. I would get a flashback, and I would just zone out. And sometimes my flashbacks were so bad that when I talk about zoning out, and that's literally what I do, I would just sit there and I would stare and stare into the sky or stare into an inanimate object or something like that, where it would, I would just sit there basically just lost. I mean, I guess that's a really good way to explain it. That's what it is. I was just lost. I didn't know what to think. Didn't know what to say. I basically had no emotional connection with myself whatsoever. And the only thing I recall when I do get when that does kick in is that when I go off into La La Land, which I talk about, the only thing I kind of remember about when I do go off there is the pain that I feel inside. And I'm sure anybody who's going through this would probably understand what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking, and let me be very clear here. Now, I've heard many, many different forms of people that have been through trauma that have gotten PTSD. And I've heard many, many different stories, very, very similar to what I'm talking about, how they react. And some people don't remember, period, at all. They just zone out, and their memory of it is either very vivid or it's not. So I know everybody's different as far as that's concerned. And I know that my knowledge on the topic is, well, I'll put it this way, my knowledge on the topic is I mean, as far as in clinical terms, is fairly minimal. But what I've learned over the years and what I've learned about myself and how I react and how, what I mean by when I react, everything from a positive way to a negative way, and let me be very clear, most of the time that whenever it does kick in, is basically negative as far as myself is concerned. The pain kicks in, or the pain was already there, and basically what it does is you just escalate it, and I just go off in the la-la land, and that's it. And then I go into self-sabotage mode, whether it be drinking or drugs, that's what I would do. That was my way of coping and numbing the pain, and then I would slowly come back down to earth and realize that, okay, well, I've gotten over that. Not really ever dealing with it to the level that I'm dealing with it now. And this is what kind of gives me great pleasure to talk about it, because one, it's such a very important topic for most people, and especially for myself, because like I say, it's just one of these things that's still hanging on to me, which I haven't really been able to shake. And some of the things I've been doing to control my post-traumatic stress when it does kick in is one thing I've learned to do really, really well is to ground myself. And what I mean by that, I'll do anything from meditate, or I just find another focal point. So this is what works for me. I'm not saying it'll work for you. That's why I also recommend that if you do have this problem, I do suggest you seek out professional help, and if you can get it, and you'll get past this. But for myself, I have not seeked out professional help. I basically have worked on it on my own, probably because of my own beliefs and what I believe. Granted, my beliefs are changing now and drastically. Obviously, because of where I'm at as far as my headspace is concerned and what I've learned. And I've learned that at the same time, I cannot discredit the professionals that do look after this sort of thing, because primarily they're the ones that help people. So I won't be too, let me see, how would I say it? Well, I can't really put my finger on blaming anybody but myself as far as that's concerned in regards to how I'm feeling and what I went through. But I will say this much, though, that my recovery has been all attributed to what I'm doing here at the Gatehouse. Now, I've always meditated to some form or degree or anything like that, what I've learned from both the martial arts and my Buddhist beliefs that I've learned, and I've kind of combined everything. And not just that as well, but also the native beliefs that I picked up along the way as well. And I found all those things that I've kind of incorporated into what I believe has helped me as far as my meditation is concerned. So basically, when I go into flashback mode and that PTSD kicks in, the first thing I try to do, rather than resort to a joint or to a drink, what I'll try to do is I'll try to meditate. And basically, when I catch it, if I'm able to catch it, and then I'm able to bring myself back down on earth. And I found that has helped me in more ways than one. And also too, what's really, really helped me with my flashbacks and my nightmares, as I've stated all along, is what I've done is I've been talking about what happened to me as a child. So basically, by using my voice and exposing, now here's a great word here I'm going to use as well, I'm making myself vulnerable. By doing so and talking about what happened to me as a child and into my into early adolescence or before I became a teenager, it has helped me leaps and bounds by doing so. So I keep talking about it, whether it be through web radio, which I'm doing here now, or what I'm doing here at the Gatehouse, whether it's in a group setting or just sitting around the table talking to my friends here. And it's helped me. And the more I talk about it, the more I deal with it on a level that I'm talking about, that has what's brought me to where I am now. And I really must insist, folks, that you listen to what I'm saying, because granted, what I'm saying may not apply to you, but I know from many others that I've talked to come through the house where they have been vulnerable and they've talked about what's happened to them. It has made a huge difference on with them as well. Everything from their PTSD, like I'm talking about, or I mean, granted, they still get it, like myself, which I've been very, very clear about. But the only difference is my nightmares or my flashbacks and my nightmares are nowhere near, yes, they're still very clear. And vivid, but they're nowhere near as gripping as they used to be. Meaning that, yes, I. And another thing I must point out too, which I didn't say along with the little puzzle. Now, before I would used to always deny what I was thinking, or rather what I was feeling. I tried to disbelieve what I was believing, although I know it wasn't false. What happened to me, it's very clear what happened to me, and I think about it. There's not a day goes by I don't think about it, but. The key is by thinking about it like I'm talking about, and where it would grab a hold of me and make me feel like basically like crap or like shit, pardon the way I put that, but basically that's what it does. It makes me feel really, really bad. Gives me this awful, horrible feeling on the inside, this horrible inside gut pain, which I've talked about in the past, where it just literally grabs me and pulls me down to a level which some, I'm sure, if you're listening, can really appreciate what I'm talking about, you know, to where I feel like so bad that I, you know, basically I isolate myself. And that's basically how it would do to me. That whenever that would kick in, that's what it would do to me. And that's how I would deal with it. But now I've learned to deal with it in a different manner, in a much more positive manner. And by acknowledging that, yes, I have that, and not denying something that I know is really true to begin with, has made all the difference in regards to how I behave now when I do get them and when it does kick in. And it basically brings me back down to earth and really rather, well, the more I think about it, the more I practice it, the quicker I come back down to earth, basically. That's basically what it does to me and how I'm able to have some kind of control over it. It's amazing. It's just kind of mind-blowing to me how all those years and years, literally, I mean, years and years, I've been dealing with this, and I've tried many different things of dealing with it, but not really totally understanding what was going on with me and why I was behaving like I did. Now, I obviously understand, because I came here to the Gatehouse, and I figure, well, this is what's going on. This is what I'm doing and why I have these thoughts. Like I say, there's not a day goes by I don't have a flashback, but at the same time, like I've stated many times, that has changed. It doesn't have a grip on me like it used to have. And for the most part, when I have flashbacks, I mean, unless you really know me, you're not really going to know I'm even having one. And that's probably a good thing anyway. And my nightmares, as far as that's concerned, I mean, unless you're sleeping with me or beside me, I don't know what I say in my sleep. I know I talk in my sleep, but I have no idea whether I, you know, what are the thing, other things I do in my sleep. But I know that when I do wake up from a nightmare, that I know how I feel after that, because usually I remember. I have a really good memory for these so-called insignificant things. Not saying that my nightmare is insignificant, because I'm not at all, and neither am I diminishing it in any way or fashion. Because to me, it is very important in order for my own healing to move forward that I understand what the heck's going on with me. And, you know, and I talk to others that are going through this, and not just through the gatehouse, but also through, well, like through multimedia, like Twitter, like for example. That's, I hang out there quite a bit. I mean, I don't really, I am on Facebook, but I most of my communication, regardless of me being an advocate for what I'm doing here at the gatehouse, is basically all done through Twitter. And it's been a great help to me, like Bobby Parrish, for example. I kind of threw this out at her the other day that, yes, this sexual chat that you have on Tuesday nights has been very, very helpful for me, including for my PTSD as well, because the point is that I get to talk about what I'm going through and how it's affected me, as where before I couldn't do that. Yes, I talk about it at the gatehouse as well, but it's just another channel to talk about it. So the more I talk about it, as I've stated in the beginning here, the more I talk about it, the better it is for me. It's helped me in my healing. Yes, I have the flashbacks. I still have the nightmares. As I've stated, they're not as bad as they used to be. But the bottom line is, it is helping me. It's helping me get better. In other words, it's helping me to the point where, yes, okay, that happened to me, but it doesn't own me anymore. Like it has before. And I guess to me, as far as my progression is concerned, that is a big thing, because if I can't move forward, then I'm going to stay stuck in the past. And, you know, I've talked about being stuck too, but that's a topic on itself. But basically, that's basically what it does to me, because I get the flashback or the nightmare, and it just sends me right up into cloud nine. Actually, not even cloud nine, it's like cloud 199, because I'm way up there, and I sure as heck I'm not aware of what I'm thinking or feeling. All I know is I just go numb. And anybody who's listening that could have, that has, that's going through this, will totally get what I'm talking about. it's so important to talk about it, because if I don't, then how the heck am I going to move forward? That's what I really learned about through this whole process. And here, I'm just was trying to type as I was doing that at the same time, but just adding in this about the PTSD. I'm going to be talking about that. But okay, so yes, so PTSD, like, I think about what how it's affected me, how it's affected me in regards to my relationships, intimate relationships, even friendships with people. I mean, you know, I've always talked about other things about, you know, about not being, about my self-confidence and fear and anxieties and all that sort of stuff. But it all kind of relates back to what I'm talking about, which is the PTSD. And, most people, I know myself, a lot of times I would never even consider that as being, what the heck's going on with me? Why am I behaving like I am? Why does it have to basically rule me to the point where I behave like a jackass, or I isolate myself, and I don't talk to people, and, you know, I dissociate, and, you know, all those things. Like, wow, it's like one big pile of a mess, if you ask me. And, the great thing is now I can talk about it, and I have a pretty good understanding of what's going on, well, especially with myself. And it's just, like I've said, it's just mind-blowing to where I'm at now. When I think about where I was even a year ago, or even 2 years ago, 5 years ago when I came here, I'm not at all the same person. And I've been very clear that, yes, I still have some issues, such as trust and all that kind of things, but I guess that's something I'm just going to have to keep working on, and I'm not afraid to say so. But the good thing is that that things are changing for myself, and I've seen other people go through the same process I'm going through, and it's great to watch them transform as I'm transforming myself. So now, what else can I throw in about that? You know, I talk about isolation and dissociation. Now, I know for the longest time, for a long time, I would think that when I got into that mode, where I would dissociate myself with other people, or just basically isolate myself, I didn't want people to see me like I was. I didn't really want to be around anybody. That's pretty much what kind of happened to me. And it made me feel so bad as I talk about how that awful pain I feel inside, that gut-wrenching pain I talk about, where it grabs me and I just want to basically go into a closet and go and hide or just shut the door and don't want to deal with anybody. I feel so awful. And, you know, and then here's another word I haven't thrown in, too, is guilt. You know, I have that guilt feeling, too, that even after the fact that I was doing this, and what were people thinking about me? Like, how could I even do this to people? Especially people that trusted me and wanted to be my friend, and here I am, I'm just, or be in a relationship with me, and here I am, I'm basically shutting myself out from other people. I really apologize for anybody who I've ever done that to, but at the same time, let me explain, like, this is what happens to me. This is what I do when that kicks in. It basically holds me and puts me in another world. And I mean, I don't expect you to understand that unless you're kind of going through it yourself, but that's kind of what it does to me. And when I talk about isolation, it is such horrible, horrible thing to feel and go through. And what I mean by that is when you put yourself in a, like when you put yourself in a closet and you, or when you close yourself in your apartment or your house or whatever, and you shut the door, you shut the blinds, and you don't want to talk to anybody, and all because you feel, or rather because I felt that nobody really understood. And yet, well, thank heavens I finally found people that understood, that understand and totally get what I'm saying and understand what I'm feeling and where I'm going with this. And it's a long time coming, and I'm really, really grateful that the fact is that I'm even able to sit here and talk about this now, because 2 years ago, a year ago, I never thought it was possible that I'd be sitting here talking about this now. I mean, I would have thought that was totally preposterous. Why would I be sitting here talking about something like this? Well, my whole thought process has changed, obviously, and my level of caring towards myself has obviously changed drastically as well. In regards to how I feel and think, and basically I'm at the level where I really don't, well, not that I don't care what other people think. I certainly do care what other people think. It matters a lot. I care what people, and especially other survivors that have gone through what I've gone through, and I really care about them because they understand where I'm coming from, you know, as where I've never really met anybody that else that does. And I mean no disrespect when I'm talking about psychologists or psychotherapists. Even them, the ones that I've talked to in the past, didn't seem like they really. I mean, you know, like, don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not discrediting them. I'm not whatsoever. I'm just saying it that they didn't understand me, where I was coming from. That's all I'm saying. And but I do appreciate, though. Again, this will be another topic for another time. And I know I'm gonna bring it up sometime. And the only difference is I want to have somebody here, like a professional, to talk about that with them. Is I want to have a conversation with I want to bring in a psychologist or a psychotherapist, psychologist, any one of them, and I want to talk about this. And I want to talk about all things related to it in regards to their treatments and what they do and how they recognize it. Again, like I said, that's another topic. I'm talking about how it's affected me right now, and how I behave and how I react. But anyway, my point being is, yes, I felt they didn't understand me, and rather than me feeling what I was what was going on with me, I was medicated, and therefore I couldn't feel or understand, or I was basically in la la land, and it didn't help me whatsoever. It's my only point I'm trying to get at, even though I made it kind of long winded. But point being is that that it didn't help me, and here I am now. So. And basically, through self-help is what I'm talking about. Self-help and peer support. That's what's helped me. And I, you know, to this day, you know, I know all my experience here to that I've learned and where I'm at. I know that this will be with me till I move on to the next life, is all I know. And I firmly believe in what basically group therapy has done for me. I implicitly believe that it's good for me. It's good for other people. I've seen it, you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of times now, And I keep seeing it daily, all the time that I'm here. I see people transform just by talking about what about their trauma that happened to them in their past. And to me, that's I mean, obviously, it's very humbling to me, and it's also I'm also very honored when I hear from other people that the fact that they're sitting here telling me about what happened to them. And most importantly, as I've stated before, I got into this, is that I actually find people that can relate to what I'm talking about and understand what I'm talking about. You know, everything from when I, as I've stated about, basically the flashbacks or the PTSD will bring me right to basically the edge of my so-called existence, and not even want to, you know, bring me to the edge of my existence to the point where I have no basically. I'm basically drawn between both ways and which way I should go. I'm indecisive. I can't communicate. I dissociate. I am so within myself and shut myself off from the rest of the world that I'm basically I'm not really a good person at that time. That's for sure. I guess that's a good way to put it. I'm not going to put it in any clinical name, but I'm just not a good person. And what I mean by not a good person, I mean, you can't talk to me. I won't tell you anything. I basically shut down, and that's what it does to me. And now, at least I can talk about that because, as I've stated, by applying the grounding techniques such as I've talked about, such as meditation, which I generally do now whenever I do get into that flashback mode, where I feel that the PTSD is kicking in and wants to get a hold of me and pull me back to where, to a dark side, which I don't really relish on being anymore. And let me be very clear about this, too. When I talk about going to the dark side, you know, as much as I've moved along to where I am now, it still nips at my heels or knocks at my door, asking me if I want to come back there. But you know what? I am so driven by my recovery and moving forward, I refuse to let that happen. So my drive is to heal. My drive is to move forward, not to be stuck in the past. My drive is to also, which is very important to me as well, is to show others that you don't have to stay stuck like that. You don't have to let it own you like it owned me. And I'm sure you out there listening, if you're going through the same thing, you can really appreciate it and think that, yeah, it does own me from time to time as well, especially when it kicks in. And it pulls me back to a space, to a dark side I don't want to be. I don't even want to, you know, I'm talking about it now, but I think a time period where I didn't even want to talk about it because no one understood. But now I know people understand. I know people, I've met lots of people, especially through multimedia. And I'm talking about from all walks of life, all types of trauma that I've come across from all levels, everything from military vets, sexual abuse survivors, domestic violence survivors, frontline workers such as police, fire department, ambulance workers, anybody dealing with trauma at any level whatsoever at all. And this is what I'm grateful about multimedia because when I talk about what I'm talking about here now, there's so many resources out there now through multimedia that can give you help if you can't get help in your home, in your own hometown, if you don't have a clinic that deals with this, or anybody that understands at any level, then yes, I will say that multimedia has also been, for myself, has been a great factor in my recovery in regards to understanding as far as what's going on with my PTSD. You know, yes, we talk about it here at the house, and yes, we only deal with it only to a certain level because, like I say, this is only peer support. We are not therapists here, so we're not qualified to give you any real proper direction other than, as I've stated, what we talk about, and that's just talking about what we've gone through, our experiences, about being vulnerable, and about our experiences, and like I've stated, it's helped me, and I've seen it help many, many, many others by just talking about it. So yes, there is many different ways of getting help for this. It's just a question of whether you can afford to pay for it or not. That's another way of doing it too, by going to a psychotherapist that knows about this and understands about this. And so they could bring you to a better understanding of how you feel and where you're going with that, and how to help you how to figure out some way of grounding yourself so that you can bring yourself back down when you do go into that flashback mode, where it could potentially bring you to a dark side, which, you're like me, if you don't want to be there and you don't like being there, and there's another way, is basically what I'm talking about. There's obviously another way. It took me a long time to figure that out. Long, long time to figure that out. And I'm so grateful that that I'm at least able to talk about it now to the level that I am. And it's amazing how, to what level that I'm able to talk about it, and how I look at back now, how it used to drag me down, and now how I'm able to look at it in a whole different perspective, to the point where, like the things I've talked about, the guilt and the shame, or the shame and the anger, and the guilt too, sure, it's kind of all kind of riding coattail there along with another, but I don't, it doesn't hold me like it used to. I talk about shame, like that shame thing, holy jeez. I mean, again, that's another topic, again, all in itself, but it's amazing how that shame thing kind of kicked in there when my PTSD, whatever, kicked in as well, because I think of how I've always felt shameful about what happened to me, but with the PTSD, that just made it even worse, as far as I'm concerned anyway. So I don't think I could really, I don't think I'm going to talk about it a whole lot more, other than hopefully you get the idea what I'm talking about, how it affected me. I really hope that, I hope that you get something out of it, at least an appreciation where that you understand where I'm coming from and you can relate to it. And to me, that's more important. So if you're listening and you're trying to find a way to deal with it, even if it does happen to you, This is only a suggestion. Again, it's primarily your choice to decide what you want to do. First off, I would certainly seek professional help if you have if you have those kind of resources that you can reach out and get it, instead of being stuck in this dark place like I've talked about. But I know for myself, me being vulnerable and talking about my experiences, what happened to me, has been a huge factor in regards to where I am at now and my slow and steady progression to where I would like to be. And that is where, as I stated, I have no more shame, and I don't intend on having any more shame about this whatsoever. So the more I talk about this, the better it will be for me. And it's just that, well, simple but not. It's just that simple but not. Any chance I get, I totally embellish the thought of being able to sit here and talk about this, so that people understand that, well, we have one, you're not alone, and two, that that you can heal and move forward, at least to a better quality of life than what you've been used to or subjected to or self-subjected to, as it is for me in my case anyway. Okay, so I'm going to get off this right now, and if I think of something along the way as I'm going along, I'll throw it in as well. This is not going to be a long show tonight. I have no guests, and it's been rather a hectic couple of weeks between groups and one-on-ones that I do, and don't get me wrong, that's all good. I'm glad to be busy here at the Gatehouse, and that's what I like doing, and I really enjoy doing, and it's very, very healing for me at the same time. And I totally, any chance I get, I love being here, and that's what it does for me. It just keeps moving me forward. Now, that's the great thing about my story is that it's changed so much from when I read it for you out of Deb Mayberry's book, Unlocked the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse. And even without looking at the book and reading it to you, my story has changed leaps and bounds or different directions. I've shifted many, many different times. Since I've dealt with this, and I'll probably shift some more, and all for the better. It's been a funny kind of a summer, and it's gone so by. I can't believe we're in August already now. Toronto here, they're already advertising for the X, which is going to be in another week and a bit away. We'll be starting, so we already know that when that happens, summer is basically coming to an end, and we will. will be. So, getting out our winter boots before we know it. And I don't rush the thought of another winter, but what can I do? This is Canada. Doesn't even have to be Canada for heaven's sakes. It could be anywhere. Winter is coming. And but you know what? I don't even want to think about winter right now because I'm too busy enjoying the summer that I have. Granted, my summer's been very, very mellow, and I haven't really done a whole lot other than hang around the house here at the gatehouse and do other things. I'm kind of related to what I'm talking about, but like for example, now next weekend, Saturday, August the 9th, or is that right? August the 9th. Let me just double check my calendar here. But we have a partners group coming up, and myself and Art Lockhart are going to be, actually it is just the 8th, so Saturday the 8th. It's going to be from 9:30 in the morning till 3:30-ish, 4 o'clock this Saturday at Humber College. If you wish to attend, and when I talk about partners, partners can be anything. It could be, and by the way, it's not gender specific. Gay, straight, doesn't make a difference. If you're not in an intimate relationship and you have a best friend that's been through kind of what you've been going through, being a survivor. I mean by that through all your emotions, the process through your emotions, through all the different through years or time or however long you've known one another. Well, what the partners group is about, that's going to happen this Saturday. Basically, what we help them understand, meaning your partner or your friend or whatever, is we help them understand your healing process. And we also help your partner with trust. Actually, it kind of works both ways. And we talk about pause, we talk about gratitude, we talk about mindfulness. All these things are big factors in regards to your healing process. But I guess really the big thing, mainly as I'm talking about, is the partner or the other person involved in your life doesn't understand your progression to your recovery. And this is basically what Art has devised this program for, is to help you understand the growth of your partner that has happened. Because, I mean, you've seen them, your partner, in many, many different shapes and forms, and now you're seeing them progress in a level that you've never probably phantomed that person would ever do. And maybe, granted, my words may be a little bit strong, but sometimes us survivors, we have a tendency to do some, well, we do some. Well, I guess, well, in my opinion, some people would consider probably to be odd or not. Well, I shouldn't use that word odd. That's not really, really fair. I take that back. But what people wouldn't understand is what I'm trying to get at. Most people wouldn't understand why you behaved. I mean, it's hard enough for them to understand that, especially if you've told them that you were a survivor of childhood sexual abuse or some kind of trauma, and you're winging it day by day, and then all of a sudden you start going to a place, and somebody starts helping you with this, and then you start changing, and then your partner just does not get what's going on with you. You're what I mean by changing, such as, well, there's all kinds of things happen to us when we go through the group process here. Don't get me wrong now, not all survivors are the same. Survivors of childhood sexual abuse, it affects us in many, many different ways. Just because I talk about some of the stuff doesn't mean it affects everybody all the same way. Everybody, it affects everybody differently. Most of the time I've talked mainly referring to myself, and if I'm lucky enough to have somebody here to talk about it as well, then they give their own experience at the same time. But the great thing about the partners group is it helps you understand the progression of the survivor to, the 15 weeks, even going into the phase two and doing another 15 weeks of learning how to move on. And where you're learning to accept that yes, it happened to me, and it doesn't own me anymore. And depending on where you're at, like I've described about my guilt and my shame, like I refuse to carry that anymore. I just will not carry that anymore because it basically destroyed everything I basically had. I've lost everything because of that. I will talk about this to my last breath, telling you that. This is not a way. If you have a way to go and get healing for this, then I really recommend that you go and try to at least try to do something about it to change this, change that thought process that you've had to carry all these years. It's so self-destructive. I mean, it has been with me. and I've been very, very open about this, and honest and open about this, how it's affected me in all levels. And I don't wish anyone to go through this. It's just not fair. I mean, just not fair, period. So when I talk about this, I talk about it with pure compassion and my heart open towards this. It's that's how important it is. Nobody should have to go through this at all. So, like I've stated, the Partners Group is a really, really good thing. And I love the trust exercises that Art has devised for us. I won't get too much into that. I won't talk about a whole lot about the exercises that we do. I'll save it for next week, and I'll talk a little bit about what happened. And obviously, I'm not going to talk about people in general, because there is a privacy thing, confidentiality thing here. But I will talk about it as a whole, and hopefully I'll have some experiences to talk about, and maybe even a few aha moments that I can discuss where it doesn't really imply to anybody. And to me, that is very important, and especially in the healing process. But so I'm really looking forward to doing that with Art. Unfortunately, Paula will not be there, and neither will Deb. It'll just be Art and I, so that's great. I think we have, we just had two more people sign up today, so we're going to be pretty close to, I think we're going to be around 16 people to 20 people. So that's pretty good for summertime anyway. We haven't really done any partners groups since June, and really looking forward to going out of full tilt come September, October, and November, and right through into 2016. And I'm really, really looking forward to it because I know this has been pretty popular amongst a lot of people, and it's really kind of great now, too, because we've got outsiders coming out that have not participated in the Gatehouse program coming in now, too. And may I be very clear about this? This is free of charge, and, you know, that's great. You know, you come in the morning, we'll give you a cup of coffee to get you going, and the Gatehouse provides you lunch. You know, so you don't have to leave the campus because we have it right at Humber College, which is basically right in behind us. And right behind the Gatehouse down here in the Lakeshore at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West, the Gatehouse address, and Humber College is basically right in behind us. So if you are interested and would like to partake in this partners group, please call the Gatehouse at 416-255, I always forget the phone number, 255-5900. And speak with any one of the volunteer staff or Brad, Maria, or Paula, and Stephanie, any of the paid staff as well. And they'll be more than happy to sign you up because we still have room. Another thing that's going to be going on, I must tell you about too, that's going to be going on this weekend, and which I'm going to do after the partners, because the big thing I've done the partners, I'm going to be going right down to the Waterfront Festival, which will be the fourth annual. Again, it's Saturday, August 8th. It'll be 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. There's a Marine Parade Waterfront Drive. There'll be live music, food, food trucks, buskers. There'll be a kids zone, a farmer's market. On the main stage, basically from 10 to 11:30, they got DJ Reno, Latin guitarist. From 11:30 to 12, we have HSPCA welcomes, I guess it's just an introduction. And then from 12 to 1 p.m., we got New Horizons. It's a concert band. And also from 1:30 to 2:30, Southbound Soul Band will be on. And from 3 p.m. to 3:45 p.m., we have Nova Sounds Top 40. And from 4:15 to 5:15, we've got Carly Joe Country Music. And then from 5:45 p.m. until 7 p.m., we got the Blackboard Blues Band, which I can't wait to see that because I'm really a blues guy. That's on the main stage I'm talking about. At Street Buskers from 11 to 1 p.m. And then from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. we got Tom Tom and the Juggler. And from 2:30 to 4:30 we got Hula Hoop on Fire. Well, that'll be interesting to see that as well. I might be able to catch the end of that because I'll be done over at the college by then. And then from in the demo area, we've got Omigo Electric Vehicles. So basically e-vehicles or battery-powered vehicles that I imagine you'll be able to test drive and look at. And then from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m., there'll be a kids zone, which is totally free. You can bring your kids, and there'll be arts and crafts, and plus a whole bunch of other things that will be there as well. And from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., CJ's skateboard will be there as well. I guess a demo as well that you can go and try the boards. I imagine they'll have a portable, like a mini, basically, skateboard deck that you can try these boards out on. That'll be kind of curious, too. So that is going on next Saturday, or rather this Saturday coming, Saturday, August 8th. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And like I said, live music, food trucks, busters, kids zone, farmers market. So that will be a really, really good event to go check out. And another thing I was brought to my attention, which I should mention, on August the 13th, I was asked to do an interview by Dr. Vibe, and I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to preempt my show, and in fact, I'm going to direct people from my Blog Talk over to Dr. Vibe, which is also broadcast on Blog Talk Radio as well, and I'm going to do an interview with him, and I'm really, really anxious to do an interview with Dr. Vibe. Dr. Vibe, let me see, you would have to go on to his, just Google Dr. Vibe, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And what Dr. Vibe represents. And I haven't really done a whole lot of talking to him other than through multimedia and basically through keystrokes. So other than what I've seen on his webpage, and he's a pretty amazing man from what I've read about his bio and what he does, although I don't have it here in front of me. I'll talk about it more next week. I'll make sure I have his bio here in front of me and what he does and what he talks about, because the following week I will be, I do want to go on a show. And I'm going to talk about what I do here at the Gatehouse. And, yes, actually, what am I saying? That's next Thursday. So what's wrong with me? It's already the 6th today. So what I will do on my program, which I'm going to note, and I probably will do, what I'm thinking I'm going to probably do is I'll preempt my show until maybe I'll probably come in on Saturday and do it on Saturday. So that will be Saturday, August the 15th. And if I can't do it Saturday, August the 15th, I'll do it Saturday, August the 16th. Or rather, Sunday, August the 16th. So I'm going to do it either in the 2 days. So what I'm going to do through the week, I'm going to advertise that I'm going to be on Dr. Vibe, provided we can get our time straight. It'll be sometime after 7 p.m. But anyway, I'll definitely put a plug in through Twitter, and I'm sure it'll be through on my Facebook as well, describing what I'm going to be talking about. So I'm really, really anxious to talk to Dr. Vibe. And what I'm going to be talking to Dr. Vibe about, I'll probably be talking about my story. And I'll be talking about the Gatehouse and what we do here. And so I'm really, really looking forward to that. Within saying that, I've almost done an hour, and that's pretty good. I can't believe I can talk that much. But I'm hoping you got something out of what I was talking about tonight, talking about PTSD. I had to just talk about it because I talked about it on Sex Abuse Chat through Twitter. And I talked kind of within on it last night, too, through chat on Twitter as well, which is called PTSD Chat as well. If you are in a multimedia, I would highly recommend, especially if you don't have any kind of resources to get any kind of help, and you go on there, and hell, you don't even have to say your name, but at least you're going to get some insight to whatever you're feeling, and you're going to hear experiences, examples from other people that have gone through or are going through the exact same thing you are. And you'll learn quickly that you're not alone. Like myself, I'm not alone. There's many, many others, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people that are going through the stuff that I've talked about today, from all walks of life. And the more we talk about it, the more we make the public aware that this stuff goes on, and the more people are not weirded out about this stuff that I'm talking about as well. People get weirded out about this very, very easily, and it's just too bad. And it all falls back to one, awareness, and two, education. You don't, if they're not educated in what's going on, then how can they understand, and how can they show any compassion or give you any empathy if they don't understand? It's pretty simple if you ask me in regards to that. Simple but not. Let me say that as well, too. But all in all, it's been a great week. And okay, what else can I end the evening off to? Oh yes, Deb and I are phase two group. We have one more week to go, and then bang, we're jumping into another one right away, which is great because we have a fair amount of people coming to the house here now. I've noticed every year that I've been here, the numbers have increased. So basically, more people are coming out. The fact that this sexual abuse thing has happened. I'm not just talking, and I mean by everybody, more people. I mean both men and women. And even teenagers, it's incredible how many more people are actually coming and wanting to deal with this. And the Gatehouse is the perfect place to come here. It's a safe place to heal. And I have nothing but great things to say about the Gatehouse as far as my healing is concerned. And what I've seen from others at the same time as well. So Yes, our group is ending, and Deb and I are going to start another group again right away, pretty much right away. So that would be August the 17th or the 18th, if I'm not mistaken. Geez, I can't remember. I need a calendar here in front of me. Yeah, so that will be August the 17th. We'll be starting another group right away. And again, we're doing a co-ed group together, so I'm really excited and looking forward to doing that with Deb, as always. Deb is very grounded, and if you don't, those who don't know who I'm talking about Deb Mayberry. She's a facilitator here at the Gatehouse, and she's also an author and a publisher of a few books. The one that's dearest to my heart is Unlock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse, and you can get that through Amazon.com and through Kindle as well. It's in the top 100 bestsellers as far as Kindle is concerned for Canada. And my story is in there as well amongst many, many others. And lucky for me, I can't say I know everybody in this book, but I know more than a few in here. And they are such brave, brave people. And I'm so grateful to be in here along my story, along with theirs. And it's just very humbling for me. And again, this is another way of letting me know that, yeah, Stu, you're not alone. There's thousands of other people out there who are just dying, well, I shouldn't say they're dying to talk about it, but they want to talk about this, and they have no way of talking about it. So again, I'm grateful. So basically, Unlock the Door. I go a little bit more into this book before I sign myself off. Unlock the Door provides readers with courageous, candid, and unflinching account of heart-wrenching lived experiences of child abuse. Through sharing her own and other voices' stories, Deb Mayberry provides validation and hope to survivors, to those who live through no fault of their own, have been shaken body and soul. Her writing is tense, her point is sharp, and abundantly clear. Victims need a justice system that better serves their needs and more services capable of supporting their journey to wellness. And by the way, I'm quoting Dr. Fred Matthews, psychologist and author of Invisible Boy. Here's an example right there, and another example of a truly great person. Again, if you go on to Amazon.com, and you will find, just look for Dr. Fred Matthews and this book I just described as well. So I think I'll end evening off. More importantly, I want you to take care of yourselves. Self-care, what it's all about. If you feel any way triggered from what I've talked about, I suggest you call a local hotline, wherever city you're in. And I know most cities have got some kind of helpline of some sort. There is an international hotline, and I feel kind of stupid and bad that I don't have it here in front of me. And I think of others that do post it and do that, and I think I'll make sure that I have that for the next time. And I should start doing that. But take care of yourselves. Self-care. To me, that's what it's all about. Learning what's happened to me, understanding what I'm feeling, where I'm going with my feelings, understanding that I'm actually a human being, and that I'm worthy of what I'm doing, what I am, who I am, and becoming to who I and the new beginning of me. All these things put together have brought me to be here today talking to you about childhood sexual abuse. I'm just grateful to be here, and I will be back next week. And like I say, I'm going to do the Dr. Vibe show on Thursday, because it just happens to fall at the same time as me. And unless I can do it another time, that will be when I do it. But I will definitely post what my show will be about next week, and maybe I'll even have a guest if I can get them in on the weekend, like Deb. I haven't had Deb here in quite a while, so maybe I can just get her in here. Actually, I'm going to talk to her about that this week coming, and maybe I can get her in here for the following weekend. So that would be absolutely fantastic. If they get here on Saturday, we'll do this live. That's just a thought coming out of my head now, and that's kind of where I'm going to go with that. But anyway, I'll keep you posted. So remember, self-care, take care of yourself. If you feel triggered, seek out some help, talk to a friend, call a local helpline. But by George, take care of yourself. Have a great week. Thank you for your time. Love you, and thanks for your time. Have a good night. Bye for now.